Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot Sad Foot. I'm Darren Miller.
Travis is repping all the merch. I'm Vince LaRosa, noting that if you guys take anything from this game and or this post-game live stream, that scarf is for sale behind Travis, the shirt that he's wearing, and also the cup that he's using to drink from are all for sale. Everything else is a wash from here, guys. I mean, the weekend, this is the first game to start the weekend for MLS, and if it's the most normal game, then man, we are in for quite the weekend. It's going to be crazy.
A real weird Look, one. I think it's a good... We should just get right to... Happy Foot for me is that we did release merch this week and everybody was really supportive and loved it. It was really fun and it was great to get everyone's support. And I think the Happy Foot does have to come from outside the match.
I will say I... And just so everybody knows, there's an outage of Spectrum in my area right now. So I'm on a laptop that's running off my phone, which currently has one bar. So if I go away at some point, that's why. But I you know, there were some happy foots in that match. Matty Bogush, people have been talking shit about Matty Bogush for a while. Beautiful game by Matty Bogush. Timothy Tillman keeps showing us that he is one of the best players on the team. We should start to believe him. Second time Crepeau has gotten a red card to save our asses. Maxime Crepeau, man of the match.
Thank you, Maxime.
After that, I mean, what a waste of a second half. But I would say a lot of the game was really fun until the last 20 minutes, which was very frustrating.
Yeah.
So before we started, I was just chatting quickly with Darren. And I was like, look, this is a weird game. And I know people are really upset because it's a game in which a red card happens and then you immediately equalize and you think like, OK, we're going to definitely go on to win this game and maybe other versions of LAFC would. But it's like it's not necessarily a match that you can take a lot from because of the fact that this is not going to happen a lot, especially on the road, which makes it interesting. I think the Timbers actually did, like, you got to give some credit to the Timbers. Like, they did a very good job neutralizing LAFC in that second half. So it's a mixed bag, but like some of the good things that you guys already point out are definitely there. The really bad for me, the sad foot for me is the individual errors that led to their goals. Like, Evander still scores a banger with that second goal, but a myriad of errors on the second goal. I can point to a couple on the first goal from the midfield and also Murray. So that's bad. But again, ultimately you get the first road point. Like, LAFC hasn't gotten any points on the road all season. To finally get one, like, you have to at least be a little bit satisfied with that. Despite the circumstances, usually you hope for 3 points.
If you were to tell me 4 hours ago that LAFC would get a point on the road on turf, I would have said, cool. And then you watch the game and you go, wow, that sucked. We definitely should have gotten 3 points there. You know, but like, taking it all aside, I can be a little Vince overly optimistic after that, where it's like, we got a point on the road. We did need to get that on turf, which we always play poorly on. And I got to say, we didn't look great for a lot of it. So to get a point while also looking a little rough, especially after that first half, which was pretty rough, I think the second half was disappointing because we wanted more offensive, but like, I don't know. The midfield is not clicking for me. I know people are upset at the defense. They're upset at the offense. I think a lot of both of those problems starts with the midfield. And I saw you tweet about that a little bit after the first half.
The midfield, it's interesting because the midfield I thought was actually pretty good with the ball. Like there were some moments in the first half where there was some movement, some good interplay. Like the goal that happens with Bogus, like that happens because you have some patient interplay between Atuesta and Tillman. Great ball from Tillman into Bogus. It's just when they like when Ilya Sanchez leaves the middle of the field and the rest of the guys have to kind of figure out how to fill in, that's when the team is in a lot of trouble. And that happened on both occasions on the goal. And it just, that's worrying. Like the pieces don't fit together against the ball per se, unless they're, you know, all in line, playing like they did against the Galaxy when they were very much all in sync and had a good idea of how to play together. But when they had to kind of like freelance and just kind of make something of the play because Ilya is doing something, Aaron Long's out wide, like they just don't, those guys naturally at Atuesta and Tillman, their instincts aren't to defensively fill in the gaps. And that causes problems.
I do have a question around that because there's a lot, myself included, like 8 games in, we're not clicking. Do we start to look at different lineups to start the game? And if let's say we decide we want to start Kai Kamara up front, who comes out? Who is the person that is removed from that lineup? Is it Atuesta? Because I feel like we're playing Bogus out of his position and he's playing pretty well as a player. He's just out of his position. Is it Atuesta? Is it Sanchez? Like, who do we slide out of the game to get in Kai Kamara or Martinez?
I'm going to come in hot here. I'm going to come in hot and say...
Tactics, Darren. Let's do it.
Let's see what happens with Luongo on the bench for the first, I don't know, 40 minutes? I don't care.
Let's see. I mean, he needs something to shake up his brain.
What's he doing there? I mean...
He needs therapy bad.
Yeah. Send him a little message. He can come in when he's really needed if the game's... Like, the way that he's been playing all season, do you think... missing out on that is going to lose a game for us? We're not going to go down 0-2 in the first half because of not that play being like that play not being present.
So
it's worth the risk.
I agree with you in the sense that, like, let's say just purely results based, is that what's going to kill us? No. The risk is, Darren, that you sit down Danny Bwonga and he goes, fuck this, I hate you all. Don't ever sit Danny Bwonga and then you lose him for the rest of the season. Like, and I know that sounds crazy, but it happens.
If that's how,
like,
weak he is mentally, then that's how weak he is mentally now, not after that only.
Like, some people would
that's
say
who you're dealing with.
It's, but part of it's not like weak mentally. It's he's so in love with Danny Bwonga. He's like, how dare you? Like he believes that he should be on the field at all times and just gets really pissed off. It's like, I guess it's weak in the sense that, yeah, it's childish, but like,
I'm
just saying it happens. Like you run a risk when you do stuff. Like it's a ballsy move, but that's definitely the risk you run if you try to pull something.
Okay, maybe the more diplomatic version of that move is to just not let him play the whole game if he's, you know, not doing much as usual so far.
I don't mind that. Like if he goes 1v4 against the defense again, I might give him the hook and say, like, look, what are you doing?
Yeah, it turns out you can't dribble through all those guys still. He shows that he can do it, great. But he's just not.
There was a stat on the screen at one point that Danny Bwonga and Kike Oliveira lead the league in shots on target. And boy, does it not feel like that.
I think the term on target is doing a lot of work in that stat.
Right. Yeah, you that's one of those times where you'd love to see what their average like XG is, and for Bwonga you'd have to remove penalties because that's going to definitely prop up his average XG per shot. But I agree with you, Darren. A lot of those shots have been like, yeah, that's a tame effort and maybe not the best time to take a shot. But still, they're getting shots on target. I think, just kind of circle back, I think maybe what you do is you look at who the opponent is. And if you say, hey, we're going to need a little bit more defensive stability, then you're going to have to keep somebody like Ilya in the game and think about sacrificing Atuesta. And if you're saying, look, we're going to have more possession, which is kind of Steve kind of tipped his hand in his substitutions. If you know you're going to have possession, he removed Ilya because at that point, he's kind of redundant. You don't really need him defensively. Atuesta can do the job going forward and probably do it at a better rate than Ilya. So I think that's kind of what you're going to look at. If you're going to make changes, you're going to look at the opponent, and that's when you're going to decide, do I need Ilya or do I need Atuesta? At least that, for me, those are the two right now that you decide to maybe pull one out, and then Bogus is just playing so well, you got to figure out a way to get him on the field. If he plays a game like that, that guy has to be on the field. And he's great because he does have the ability to play multiple positions, but sometimes it causes you a headache because you're just like, where do I fit him in? Where's his best spot?
Yeah. I mean, we've had negative reactions to Bogus not quite seeming to fit in a role that seems a little out of position when it doesn't go well. I mean, he played a great game. Both of those goals were like beautiful execution. So I can't speak ill of him in this moment, but yeah, it's just, there's a lot of hit or miss. There's a lot, everything looks shaky. Ultimately it's like, it's very confusing, right? I know we're getting specific and I'm going general here, but I don't know, like, they stole a tie and were robbed of a win, but kind of earned neither. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. So, yeah, I think we should bring on. We do have a caller here. Before we move on, do you want to?
Oh, I saw in the chat that Jason says, actually, Atuesta Bogus, new midfielder, really sounds like the answer. So, in that situation, you're going to sit Timothy Tillman, who has the second most goals on the team.
Damn.
I mean, that's pretty. That's pretty ruthless.
Open question. Tell us in the chat. Is that a, yeah. You say, I'm making that not rhetorical. All right. LAFC Luke, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
What's happening?
That was a draw that felt like a loss.
Yes. I'm liking this. I like this regular post-game walk. I want LAFC Luke walking.
It's Luke around the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, if people could recognize where I'm at, then yeah, they're welcome to like come hang out and walk together.
Post game cool down walks.
Yeah, just walking home from High Tops Los Feliz, which is our regular bar for Pride Republic, and we had a joint watch party with Offsiders today. So we had like 50-60 people there, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, other than the game.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was the general vibe of everybody at the end of that game?
I mean, people felt like we were robbed of a goal in the last minute there. I don't think they're wrong. I think that was a bad call. And also folks felt like we shouldn't have had to count on that at the very end because we had the man advantage for 40 minutes. So we should have, and they didn't have Max in goal. So we should have scored 1, 2, 3, whatever, but we should have scored more than just the one on the free kick right at the restart from the red card. So
yeah, we've been kind of just mentioning it and treating it as a given that was how rough that was at the end. But like, it really, like, I could not tell that they had a man advantage. They had a man advantage and not Maxime in goal, and they couldn't put shit together. Like it wasn't just frustrating. We've said matches before are frustrating because it was just a frustrating game to watch, kind of more circumstantial. This was frustrating because like, I was more frustrated at the team I'm usually frustrated at the game. And now this was like, how can you not find?
I mean, it felt to me like last week when Galaxy were down a goal and we were down in the low block, like they were, once we drew, they were down a player and they were in the low block and we couldn't break them down. We couldn't figure out how to break them down. We had a couple moments where we nearly did. But mostly it worked for them. They weren't trying to win the game by the last 20, 30 minutes of it. They were just trying to hold on for the draw, and they did. And it worked. Whatever they did in there worked. I mean, I'm not wondering the tactician.
You think that was the move? Vince, Travis, you guys agree? Did it look to you like they were like, let's just accept the tie here?
They were smart about the way that they were going to maybe like steal a goal. You know, they went kind of just 1v1 up top. Tried to lump it to like, if they could get Rodriguez in a good matchup, then they were going to go for it. Or if they could win a set piece, but they weren't going to be stupid. Like, again, I do think you got to give some credit to the Timbers. Like, they were very active in the way they defended with 10 men. They were not passive at all, despite dropping deep. They did a very good job. That being said, you still would like to see LAFC create at least a few more chances. And somehow figure out a way to get like Kai Kamar involved. I feel like LAFC, once they put Kai in there, they were like, yeah, that's cool. We don't know how to play with this guy. We're not sending crosses, but we're not playing the ball into him to have guys run off of him and hold up the ball. Like they literally didn't really seem to have much until like the very, very end when they sent in a couple crosses. But otherwise, Kai was like not really much use.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, Vince. I felt like Kai really could have been much more active in there and they could have gotten more balls to him. And there was the one where he nearly got or he got a foot on it, but it was just a little too strong and it went wide. But oh, frustrating.
Because of my Wi-Fi, I'm on a bit of a delay. So there's a few things that I just wanted to comment on that we've talked about already. That foul at the end is obviously very frustrating. I think there's a reason we're not all talking about it, and it's because we just were the beneficiaries of a bad call last week. And so we all understand. We understand pro giveth and pro taketh away. You know,
seriously, Travis, that is exactly what I was telling folks after the final whistle. And they were like, no, fuck pro. And I was like, no. We were the beneficiaries, and now we are the folks on the wrong end of that one.
It also felt like we got lucky enough throughout this match already. Before that,
we should have maybe had a second red on Portland with that Evander hit to the face. I mean, I think he obviously used his judgment and was like, I don't want to send a second guy off. But I think if Crapo wasn't off already, I think Evander might have been off in that moment.
Do we think Crapo just didn't want to be on the field against us?
God bless him, man of the
match. It's just his signature move now.
Get that red just outside the box. But he didn't break his leg. Didn't break his leg.
I will say, we haven't brought it up. Crapo stopping by to hang out with the 3252 before the game cements the man's legend status within the club. I know that it's a lot easier to like Max than it is John because Max didn't go to the Galaxy, but I'll never dislike Maxime Crapo. I love the man. I'm happy that he's doing well. Also, I want to say that Portland team's not bad. We talked a lot of shit in the preview episode about them being not a great team. That was a fun team to watch. I understand they're not great at defense, but that's a team that's going to win some games this season. Evander is a fucking stud.
Well, we'll have a chance to beat them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Evander looks really good.
And my happy foot, obviously, Maddie, and frankly, really that first goal where off his left foot, across Max, like that's just wild and such a good, like the way he positioned himself, it's such a great goal. My sad foot. Oh, I had this one. I think just 40 minutes of being up a player and doing nothing with it other than the opening sort of set piece goal from Maddie just really kind of felt like a letdown. So,
fair.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us as usual.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you again soon. We do have another caller. Justin, I see you there. Unmute if you want to come on or if you're just hanging out. All right. Let's bring Justin W. on. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Another cool down walk.
Yeah. I know there's a LAFC running club. I think we should start an LAFC cool down walking club.
I think so. That'd be great.
Light meditation club.
Yeah. Because oh boy, do I need to step away from the TV after that game. Happy foot, real quick. Again, Bogus. You guys everyone's been talking about it. Dude's a stud. I kind of walked into you guys into the show late. I think I heard Vince talking about like where to play him. That's going to be a question that's going to be fun to kind of try to answer throughout the year as we get more and more players. Sad foot for me is I know I called you guys a couple weeks ago. I still don't know what our midfield wants to do. We were down, you know, they were down a man, but they were just kind of walking through our midfield, the second half, and that kind of bothered me. Vince, do you know what, like, is that by design or?
I mean, did you think they were walking through them or going over them? It looked like they were actually being very direct and trying to just, Rodriguez or Evander on like a 1v1 matchup and just see what they, because like those guys, if they get on the ball, like they're hard to get off the ball and LAFC had yellow cards. So I just felt like that. I don't think that they were necessarily like being outrun defensively in the second half.
No, you're right. But my issue is we have a man up, a man advantage. It shouldn't be that easy for them to give them the balls in those areas, I feel like. Again, that's easier for me to say than, you know, for the team to actually do. But I was just kind of worried because I was like, okay, whenever we give them the ball, they're going to have a chance going forward and counter. And I don't know, I just didn't really feel good because, again, Evander is incredibly dangerous. We know Sebasita is incredibly dangerous. They just have studs, which kind of leads to my last thing. And the last thing I kind of want to bring up is, these type of games kind of make me question the roster construction even more because it's like, who are we going to put on? You know, Ordaz, you know, he's kind of He hasn't really done much for us since he's been with us. And like Angel Angel hasn't played at all. Like he's still not playing. So I'm just kind of thinking about, okay, Kamara's cool and all that, but we don't really have any answers if things kind of go sideways like today.
I mean, I think that's fair. I thought the moves were smart. You bring in Campos for offensive reasons. He's definitely much more offensive. Plenty has a yellow card. Obviously, then Hollingshead literally gets a yellow card like 2 minutes after Campos comes on the field. I think it, to me, it goes back to Kai Kamara. Like, I don't blame Kai, but I don't know. Again, I don't know if LAFC understands what to do with more of a target man. And they wasted the opportunity. I thought bringing Kai in was smart. Theoretically, it was smart. And then in practice, LAFC just did not have an idea of what to do with him. And that didn't really help.
I do think, and I'm a big Steve Cherundolo defender. It's been so long since we've played with the true nine, right? And so, like, to bring him on, it's not necessarily the player's fault. I think we should start playing him a lot more because we have a true nine coming in 3 months. Let's get fucking used to it, because it's clear they didn't know how to utilize Kai Kamara, who was visibly frustrated at times in that game because he felt like he wasn't getting the ball enough. There was a moment where Odaz broke through and I think very smartly brought the ball back, but I could see Kai Kamara being like, who is this child not passing me the ball right
now? Yeah, there were some instances where maybe like an early cross would be good, but again, LAFC is not necessarily like cross first team, and so they bring it back around, and to your point, Travis, Kai's like, bro, I feast off this. Like, this is my life. I've scored the third most goals in the entire league, and I'm sure a vast majority of them have been like headers in front of the last defender.
Also, I'm 20 years older than you.
Yeah.
It could be his dad.
We say we're not necessarily a cross first team, but it feels like anytime we put a cross in, well, it's just it seems to work. And I'm always like, why aren't we doing more of that? Like, Oliveira had a great cross to Bwanga that we didn't. It's always like, oh, it seems like they didn't know what to do with that because that never happens on this team. But it's like I don't know. It's also something you're more used to seeing when Vela was around, putting like really creative passes together, longer pinpoint passes together. We don't really have that anymore. But yeah, I don't know. Every time it happens, you're like, it seems like this would work if we actually did this on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do use crosses. And I think they're not cross first. And then they're also not like, I think they use crosses in the right way. Like getting to the byline and sending a cutback, that's a good cross. Early crosses like Oliveira's a good cross. But when it gets into an area where it's just like a guy out wide and just, hey, like look up and send it in, LAFC's not necessarily going to do that. Fair. That's just not in their DNA.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's fair.
Justin, any other happy feet or sad feet before we let you go?
No, that's just pretty much it. But I'll leave you guys with one more question. Like, how many roster spots do we have left? A few, right?
Yeah.
Are we just going to keep those open till the summer? Or do you think we could sign some more kind of vets to kind of fill in the roster? Because, you know, we're still super thin.
I know there's a guy out of Mexico that's a free agent. And he's had a lot of experience in the league and in the city. I think he could be a really great member of the team. He would just swallow his fucking pride and sign the goddamn contract.
I think he came up earlier in the show, right? Is this what we're talking about? Yeah. How long ago? Maybe like 30, 40 seconds ago?
Yeah.
All right, so Vince, what would you do if you're like, hey, I'm in charge of the team now, just to kind of fill in the roster? What do we look for? More midfield depth? Another striker? Like, what do you think?
And just so you know, Vince, Justin works for San Diego FC, and this is an interview to see if
he's putting it all together. Yeah. I mean, another midfielder would be nice. There are kind of thin, and then the profile midfielders that you have are fairly similar. That's kind of what we talked about early on. It's like the Ilie is kind of redundant in some ways to Atuesta in possession, out of possession. You don't really have enough guys to go win the ball. So a midfielder that maybe is a different profile. I mean, this is where you really miss a guy like Kellen Acosta, but that is what it is. I mean, right now it's hard to answer this question because without like disrespecting Carlos Vela, it's hard to do because to Travis's point, you kind of want to just say, hey man, this is it. Take it or leave it. We need to know by Friday. But can you do that to somebody like Carlos? Not just the fact that like you still kind of want him, but like that shows like, is that how you're going to treat like the guy that's been the star of your franchise? Like these guys talk, those kinds of things get around. Like, do you want Anton Griezmann on your team at one point? Well, you probably don't want to disrespect Carlos Vela. Like there's just so many dynamics that come into it. I don't know what the exact answer is, but I can say without a doubt, like Vela hanging over them is definitely what is causing this roster to be maybe not as full as you'd like it to be at this moment.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for calling, Justin. Always very smart to hear from you. Look, it's so weird to like know that we would be happy with this result and avoid and all feel like we just lost the championship.
Yeah. I you know, honestly, I don't know that I would have been happy with this result and avoid. I get the like general like conventional wisdom of a tie on the road. But I think we like the way the season's gone so far, we barely pulled one out against the Galaxy, and I think we really needed a win. I don't think there is a version of a tie in this match that I would have been like, cool.
I think the way the season's gone so far makes me happier, Darren, to be honest. Like they haven't been able to do anything on the road. Like they've kind of been shitty on the road, to be honest. Like,
see, but that's the thing.
I'm just glad they didn't get this tie.
They were, that's the thing. But that's because you're talking about a situation where it feels like they earned a tie. I feel like they were handed this tie.
I mean, it's a smart ball all over the top to Denny Bawanga. Like Max has to do what he has to do. And then Bogusz is like, he had a hell of a game. Like that's a tie. And fair. Look, and we've just been talking about how like Portland's been dangerous going forward. Like you still need to be smart just because like eliminating one guy isn't like what it would be in other sports like hockey or basketball. Like there's still ways a team with 10 players can hurt you and obviously stop you from being very good that's defensively. True. So I think LAFC had to be smart on the road. Maybe it's a different story. I think maybe I'd be a little more upset if it was at home, but on the road, on turf, against a Portland team that Travis is right. Like they're fun. Like they're kind of fun going forward. Maybe they can't defend, but like Evander's, dude, that guy's legit. I think every
he's the best player on the field.
Yeah, every MLS team would want him. Jonathan Rodriguez, we obviously know he's got quality. I think Mora is going to round into form. Moreno came into the game, but he's been carrying an injury. Dairon Asprilla is like one of those like enigmas where like he can play. He could be the best player in the entire world or just be absolute shit, but I thought he had an okay game. So I'm not happy. It's a mixed bag, but all things considered, like finally a point when generally like after what happened in Colorado, you would have expected honestly LAFC to lose this completely despite being up a man.
I want to talk about a moment that we haven't talked about yet that it doesn't fit into a happy or sad foot category, which is trying to fight Maxime Crépeau. Now, I love you. I love you, Serge. You're going to lose
it.
That
I loved
fight.
It.
You're going to lose the fight to Maxime Crépeau.
I loved it.
And I want to say, I don't know if you noticed, they cut away from it pretty quick, but when Max got sent off, Palencia had run up to him and was clearly apologizing for having shoved Maxime Crépeau. They showed it for a half a second, but Palencia was like there being like, hey man, I'm so sorry. Like, or he could have been like, see, I told you, you're a son of a bitch. But all I know is he was talking to Maxime as he was walking out.
Palencia strikes me as the type of person that just sees red. And I think you're exactly right. He was definitely apologizing because he was like, dude, I did not realize. He probably was like, you wanted to get me in trouble. I forgot that it was you. I was ready to fight you. And then I realized, oh, wait, I know that guy and I like that guy.
Yeah. And his hands are much bigger than my hands. He could crush my head with his hands.
Yeah.
That is relevant to something I wanted to bring up, which is there could have been a much different story to this game in that we kind of won. We played a match that was similar to what we did with the Galaxy of toughness and the ticky-tack fouls and getting in their head. And I think we won that match. That not by much. I think early on it really got to us. And I liked seeing what felt like resilience from the team to kind of be like, oh, you want to do this? We can do this. We can get in your head. We can fuck up your rhythm. And it was a really physical and aggressive match. And between that match and the Galaxy match, and we're searching for an identity, part of me was like, maybe this is who we are. How do I feel about that? I don't know. But we did do well to kind of, I think that did lead to the things that came our way later. Like, we got in Max's head too. There were plenty of situations there. There was a thing between Bwanga and Max earlier before that play. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see that and them playing well there, but it was almost like made it more frustrating later when they couldn't capitalize on what they had like set up for themselves.
I think it's a fine line though too. And I wonder how you feel about this, Travis. I saw actually our old friend Connor Klops just tweet this out. He's like, I'm kind of sick of seeing LAFC players every single time there's like a foul or somebody goes to the ground getting up and getting in the referee's face. I agree with you, Darren. Like, I like that they're gritty and kind of villain-esque in that, and they're willing to like take that hit. But there does seem also a side to them that's like a little bit whiny, and I don't love that. I don't know how you guys, how you feel.
I think it would definitely paint us as like more of a villain. We were already enough of a villain in the league. This would definitely cement that. It would be like, yeah, not only do we hate them for being like at the top, but we hate them for being like just shitty to play with.
Yeah, there was a moment in the first half where I wanted to tweet that I thought that this ref was doing a good job. He was letting them play. He wasn't giving away cards unless they were needed. And then it felt like that slowly chipped away at that. And then especially at the end of the game, which again, like I said, we were owed one. I understand I can't complain about losing that game when we clearly were saved by a bad call last time we played. I don't mind people working the refs, and that's what it is. But like, it does get annoying when the quality of the play on the field is not good enough to warrant how much they're complaining. You know, like if we're just an average team who complains all the time, then that's not a fun product to watch. But like, I didn't mind it last year or the year before because we were competing for championships. I don't think anyone watching this team right now thinks we're competing for any championships. Maybe by the summer that'll change. But like, you know, I would say we are an average MLS team right now. And most of that has to do with roster construction and just things not clicking. And I do think my big takeaway from this game is like, we're 2 months in, we need to see a different starting lineup. Genuinely. I think we got to try some stuff because what we're doing isn't working. Yeah. And we've given people 2 months to figure it out. And if that means that Ilya Sanchez, our captain, has to come off the bench, it feels weird. Let's try it. Or does that mean Atuesta, this guy who we were happy to come back, needs to come off the bench? Let's try it. But Tillman and Bogush have earned their spots, and Ilya and Atuesta bring different things. I think you got to try to bring Kai Kamara on, maybe Martinez as well. We didn't see him at all tonight. But like, things are, it was a fine game. I'm not walking away terribly angry, but I'm certainly not happy. And I don't think that any honest fan thinks that we are winning anything of substance this year. Maybe Giroud comes and everything is incredible, but having a really good striker means nothing if our defense is flimsy and Murillo is making those mistakes and if the midfield struggles to play any sort of defense.
Yeah. I will say, for the record, I do think the sort of ticky-tack game that I was mentioning before, I think you can do that without also being annoying to the refs. Like, I think you can get in the other team's heads and be really gritty and also just accept calls.
Kyle points out that Martinez was out with a back injury, which I didn't know. So yeah, maybe he would have come in instead of Ordaz. Probably, right?
Yeah,
probably.
I think so. I think what you saw, you know, I think Nathan did a good job in a tough situation because he has been playing the nine so much. You could tell it was weird for him to all of a sudden then be out on the wing. There was some, you know, the Kai Kamara moment. I think it was a tough adjustment in a situation where like you have to kind of be perfect. But he did okay. And look, he probably had a chance to help us win the game if that foul doesn't get called. But I think that's well said by Travis. I don't know the answers, but you got to say, like, how long do you give this team a chance to click before you say, like, all right, guys, this isn't good enough. I'm going to start making some changes. Maybe this is the moment, but it is also tough. Like in a game when there's a red card, maybe you say like, okay, we'll give you one more run out, but the leash has to be super short by now.
Yep.
I thought it was a good sign that he made subs so early. He hadn't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, someone also mentioned Chanel. It's interesting. It's like part of the problem is roster construction, part of the problem is depth, but there's seems to be plenty of guys that we're just not seeing. So
we saw Chanel last week, right? My gut says we would have brought on Chanel if there wasn't a red card, right? Yeah. I feel like our center backs were not doing a great job, or at least maybe Mario wasn't doing the best job this game. He's prone to mistakes, and his physicality makes up for it. And yeah. So, but we need the physicality. Aaron Long has had like some physicality, but not the level of Mario that Mario has. But we talked about it before on this podcast. Chiellini hid a lot of flaws that Mario had back there, because Chiellini was so smart and clever that Mario wasn't put into difficult situations. We need, I don't know, a Ramos to come in and maybe help us out.
No. Sergio Ramos is like, I mean, I love him, and he definitely is a world-class player, or was, but he is Mario on steroids when you talk about like using your physicality to like recover and try to make up for mistakes.
I love red cards. Let's have some more red cards.
Well, then I have a Sergio Ramos coming to a town near you.
There were a lot of cards in this one, man. I have mostly some cards for, more than ways
as
than
they pointed out, three cards. Three players getting cards for kicking the ball after the play, like, which is like the stupidest card to get.
I think he gave it once and he was like, fuck, I got to do it all.
Right. He's like, these guys just aren't paying attention.
Yeah. And what other, we had some starred comments. Oh, Thomas Angel. It just must mean that in training, he's not showing anything better than Nathan Ordaz, that he's not coming in. Right. Like
we've been on the injury report for forever too.
Yeah. So maybe so he's
you
just
wonder
not
how
there
fit
yet.
He is. Yeah, if Ordaz is more fit and he's been playing better in training, then yeah, that is what it is. But I agree with people like Chanel, maybe after this game when your center backs aren't as good and like they haven't been, it's not like they've been good all season and then all of a sudden made errors. Like they've both been kind of hot and cold off and on. So maybe it is time to shake up that area of the field too.
And we know Chanel has had a lot of experience starting and playing well in this league. Tim Morgan asks, other than a goal with his dick, someone convinced me Tillman is better than Atuesta for this team. He's the leading scorer of the team, Tim. He is the only one who has scored off open play. Bawanga's done it once. We need him at this point, genuinely. And that assist today. Great assist.
Also, scoring with his dick is a big other than. He did score with his dick. That's huge.
Yeah, come on. Have you ever scored with your dick, Tim?
Take that away.
It's like being like, other than Messi being the best player in the world, what has he done for us? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Actually, that's not a bad question these days.
No, look, to be serious about it, though, like Tillman, Atuesta is silky with the ball at his feet, but doesn't give you the kind of ground that Tillman covers. Like Tillman does a lot of things that you don't see, but he is also, to Travis's point, regardless if it's on set pieces, he's at the top of the scoring ranks for the team. Like you can't take him off the field. Tillman does a lot of extra work, but that doesn't mean that at times he can't be caught out, because his natural inclination is to want to be a little bit more offensive.
We love Atuesta and we love Ilie. I don't know if the experiment's working. And I think there has to be some sort of figuring out of that experiment, because they seem somewhat redundant and they seem like they each want to be in control of the midfield, and so far it's not fully clicking. Danny Tunips asks, are scarves sold out? No, but I think we've sold about half of them. They're going really fast. They're their highest performing item. If you are a Patreon subscriber and you want a scarf, highly recommend getting one soon. They're almost half gone, I would say, in what, 3 days? So just something to consider if you want one. And they go away after that. We don't make a re-up, so they're limited edition. Jason asks, there's no tapestry. Again, my spectrum is down. This is off my phone, which I had to put in the other room to get better service. So I'm just in an office where I have slightly better service than in my basement. But I can't use my Windows computer right now, so I'm on my laptop. This is fun, right?
There were other people who I think thought you were in the same room and you had gotten rid of the tapestry. So there was...
No.
People were worried.
You have more than one room in your house?
Record is in my basement. This is my wife's office, and you can tell it's my wife's office because it's
nicer.
Full of trophies.
trophies.
Way more trophies than the LA Galaxy have ever won. I know.
But your trophy is doing a great job as a toilet paper dispenser,
that's
right?
True. So that's what a daytime Emmy is worth. You can't mention that you worked at Ellen anymore.
Also a pretty cool flex.
What else is going on in the chat here?
Thank you guys for hanging out. Okay, here he comes back.
We're showing show. Wow.
So
look
we've
at
got
that.
A Golden Globe. We've got an Emmy.
This is a Peabody Award.
Peabody.
Oh, my God.
Peabody Award.
What a great humble brag to show off trophies on a live stream that aren't yours. I think That should about do it for the show, if that's where we're at this point. I think we did mention
I'm proud of my wife. It's not a humble brag. I'm proud of my wife. You fuck.
I was about to say to Darren, I was like, show us your trophies, and then realized that he could easily say the same to me. So I'm gonna just fuck it.
My
fuck
trophies? It there are none.
I want to give it a special shout out to Eric P, who's once again watching and commenting. A LA Galaxy fan that we've converted to an LAFC fan. I can tell because he is now on the second live stream in the chat. So thanks for joining the squad. Thanks for being another one of those those plastic casual soccer fans in LA that comes over to the more fun team, just like all of us. That's how we all became fans, and we're so happy to have you, Eric. Thanks for being here. You're really a wonderful guy. Look, this was a weird one. I think we should all have our heads held high a little bit while all still being cautiously angry with this team. The roster isn't there yet. Cautiously we all angry. Know it.
That's a good way to put it.
And yet we are still not, we're still in playoff contention because every team makes the playoffs. We're still like in the top five or six in the table at the moment. I think it is 8 games in. I do think it's time to make some changes. We also should remember that we're still in the mix. And if things start to click, we could still end up near the top of the table, at the top of the West. It's still early enough for that to happen.
Yeah, if we make the right changes, there's plenty of time.
And the right changes are what? Playing Chanel, I think, right? That'll fix
it. Just play Chanel. That's all you need to do.
I wouldn't mind to see it. Look, he is a better passer. The next team that you're playing is top of the table New York Red Bulls, who are really like to press. And if you want a center back that maybe won't get hustled or hurried under pressure and freak out and give the ball away, maybe Chanel's a good option. So maybe that's a really good place to start.
I'm going to be in New York next week, and I was so excited that I realized the game's in LA. I was like very excited to travel to New Jersey to see.
To say, even if you were in New York, you'd be in the wrong place technically. So
yeah, I got to get like an Uber to Tom Bogert's place and then train for 10 minutes to get to.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned real quick before we go. We mentioned the turf. But we really consistently seem to go into places with turf and just highlight how terrible turf is. Like, I think it would have been a totally different game. That first goal was only a goal. The goal that they got was only a goal because they're playing on a fucking tennis court.
Yeah.
Like,
it was clear that Hugo had no idea what that bounce was going
to
be like.
Nor should he have to. Nor should he have to.
I will say, though, in that same regard, though, this is like the first time we've mentioned turf. So like the team didn't look like they were. Other than Hugo being like, what is going on here? The rest of the team didn't look like they were absolutely terrified to move and pass the ball around on turf, which is
not as bad as
actually a very much welcome change from the past 6 seasons.
It did make me worried for Maxime Crépeau, though, because I'm like, your leg has been surgically repaired and you have to do this every week. I hope you'll be okay.
It just, every time we play on turf, it does seem like a different game, like a different version of the sport than we are normally seeing.
You know what's funny is I'm pretty sure they train on grass.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they train on grass.
Now I've heard everything.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, the thing you spend the most time on is training, so you definitely want to have grass for training, but it is pretty funny that, they train on grass and then go to the field with the turf.
I think that's everything, right? I think we've covered most of it. We got a big game next week against a tough team at home, but we've been doing all right at home, so who knows how it'll go. Thanks for dealing with my Wi-Fi problems. I hope they weren't too bad. Darren, Vince, as always, a pleasure to spend a Saturday afternoon to you. And thanks, everybody, for watching on all the platforms.
Thanks for
especially Eric P. It's so great to have you in the black and gold, Eric P. Eric P, LAFC superfan, so
Eric
good
P
to have
is
you.
Black and gold.
Fan of the game.
I can only assume loves the team because he's in the chat again. Thanks for being here. I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.